on that later on the show. But today, I have to say, and I'm delighted to say, that we do have our guest ready and waiting for us on the line today. He is a man to talk all things US men's national team and Spanish football expert as well, from SBNation.com. He is the one, the only, the Ginge, the Ging, as Raf likes to call him. It is Mr. Zach Woosie joining us here on the show today to talk about the US men's national team victory against Jamaica. Zach, pleasure to have you back on board, mate. How are you doing today?
Well, it's kind of rainy here where I am, but and it's a Monday. But other than that, I'm going pretty well.
Oh, and surely the sun is shining in your heart, at least, after another sterling performance by the U.S. men's national team over Jamaica.
Well, I wouldn't call it sterling, but it was a win. And they continued their fairly positive form. It was easily their worst performance of the last couple of rounds. But considering they'd already made it into the World Cup, there wasn't anything much left to play for. Yeah, a letdown's expected. But you know what? In the end, they ground out a result. And sometimes it's just as important how you grind out those results and get the ugly wins as you do when you can look pretty and look aesthetically pleasing doing it. So, you know, from that point of view, it's positive. They got a win. They continue to play well. And they're moving forward. So that's what's important.
Was it really that frustrating a victory for you, Zach, whilst you were watching it? What made it so agonizing?
It wasn't really agonizing or frustrating. You could just tell in the first half that they just didn't really have a whole lot of ideas. I think a lot of it was down to the fact that I think Donovan shouldn't have played. I think his ankle was bothering him more than he was letting on, and he tried. He gave it a go. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think that kind of hindered him, because you saw once he came off and they switched out how the play was going and where the ball was moving through the team, they improved vastly in the second half. And I think you saw a team that was a lot better. So from that point of view, as dull as the first half was, it was nice to see them rebound in the second half and play well. So it wasn't too frustrating. It wasn't upsetting. It was just, it wasn't anything particularly spectacular, but they got the job done. And like I said, sometimes that's more important. And I think, like I said, a lot of it came down to Donovan. I just don't think he was quite at 100%. And I think they kind of struggled to sort of move their attack and set up their offense in the first half. But when he went out, it changed. And you saw a team that looked a little more settled and a little more comfortable.
There was a lot of talk about Landon in going into the game. Well, I say a lot. There was obviously discussion about whether he should even be in the U.S. men's national team set up at all. Bruce Arena wanted him back with the LA Galaxy. No surprise then, considering the injury obviously still aggravating, to see him and a handful of other players making their way out of this U.S. men's national team as the second game comes up in this international break. Is Bruce Arena, though, going to be a little unhappy with the U.S. men's national team for playing a not fully fit Donovan and possibly even aggravating that injury even more?
Is a club coach ever happy with the national team? it's like soccer tradition for coaches to get upset about what happens to the national team. I think Bruce has a legitimate beef, though. I mean, he's a guy that that will probably get some shtick from people who will say, well, Bruce, you always complain, you always want. But I think at this point he may have a legitimate case. I mean, Donovan was not at 100% when he left the Galaxy. He knew it, and I'm sure U.S. Soccer knew it, but they played him anyways. Now, Arena can whine and complain all he wants about Klinsmann, but the bottom line is that he should also get on Donovan's case a little bit, because Donovan's been around the block. He's a professional. He understands how this works, and he also understands this game wasn't that important. So if Donovan is in there telling Klinsmann and telling the staff, I can go, I'm okay, then he bears responsibility. Now, I don't know. We don't have the inside track on that. No one's really said. But I think there's some people blame to go around. Arena will probably, I would think, publicly go after U.S. Soccer a little bit. That's what you do. But I think maybe internally he might get on Donovan a little bit and say, well, what did you do that for? Why did you play? And especially if it becomes a long-term issue, because we don't know how bad the injury is yet. If it's something that keeps Donovan out for the rest of the regular season, that's bad. If it potentially knocks him out for the playoffs, that's even worse for L.A. He's a guy that they rely on.
Now, you mentioned that obviously it was maybe slightly flat-footed because the USA have already booked their place into Brazil 2014. But going into the game against Panama tomorrow, this will still be a home form run that they'll want to continue and want to keep winning in general, just to keep the winning mentality about. Do you like the fact that four key players have kind of departed the squad? It gives them maybe a fresh chance, a bit of fresh change, but also it takes away some experience. What are your thoughts on it, Zach?
It's an eternal balance. If this was a month before the World Cup, if we were in March, April, May, going into the next summer, I probably would feel differently. I would probably want to see everybody there, unless they were just generally injured and couldn't play. But there's always going to be an argument between the importance of form at an international level and the importance of having your best players out there and having healthy guys out there. If the U.S. were still needing to qualify, I would want Klinsmann to have everybody on deck and the best possible group there. That's what you want him to do. That's what his job is. His job's to win. Now, it doesn't mean that he should go out and throw these games, but it doesn't mean he shouldn't take them seriously. But at the same time, this is one of those last opportunities, I think, for him to maybe just run a few guys through and say, give guys a last chance, take a last look at a couple of fringe guys, because you got to figure that Klinsmann probably is comfortable with at least 18 to 20 of the guys that he wants to take to Brazil at this point, barring any injury issues. So you figure at best three spots, maybe a couple spots open for guys to grab going into next summer. So, you know, there's an opportunity there. And then I understand some of the statements. You know, he wanted to make sure he puts the best team forward. He wants to put on a show. He wants to make sure people buy the tickets, get what they pay for. But at the same time, I think it's also an issue of, you know, maybe he should pay a little more attention to the fact that MLS is in the playoff stretch. And while you can argue, and I certainly will, that you shouldn't be playing games right now, you know, sucking away players from MLS teams at key moments isn't the best. The problem is with the debate is you can go any one number of any directions, and I think everybody has a point. But for me, at this point with the Panama game, the real motivation for the Panama game, I think, is more on the fan side, because the fans realize potentially they could help maybe keep Mexico out of the playoff, although I think with their win, I think Mexico will probably squeak in now into that playoff against New Zealand. But for the player standpoint, you know, if they feel like keeping winning and keeping going, that momentum is important and vital to their success, then I mean, by all means. But I personally would think it'd be a better chance to see a little more new faces, a chance to get a few guys some run out, and maybe having them playing, just use the opportunity, because you have limited international games left between now and Brazil. So why not take that chance to see a few more guys?
It's going to be a difficult evening in Panama, because there is, as you say, Panama still fighting to go at least to that playoff spot. Mexico with that win, obviously, in the Azteca on the Friday night. Who's going to be lost out of these four, do you think, the most? In a game which the opposition will be up for and will really be gunning for the U.S. men's national team, who out of the four who have gone, Jones, obviously, Besler, Howard and Donovan, is going to be missed?
You know, with Brad Guzan coming in and playing goal, most likely, I think that's fine. That's not going to be a huge drop-off for him. Of all of them, I think you probably could make a case for Jones, only because he's become such a vital part of the midfield. Beasley's loss is pretty decently impactful too, because he's looking like he'll probably could be end up being that starting pairing and one of those guys that's going to be in the central defense. I think between those two, that would probably be my vote. Donovan's loss, because of the fact he was hurt and didn't play well, and because of the fact that they've got other guys that are able to step in and play that role to a certain extent, I think they'll be okay. So I'd say probably at this point, Jones or Beasler would be your most impactful losses. I think you can probably cover for Beasler a little better, but we'll have to see what Klinsmann does. And to be honest, against a Panama team that's going to be so motivated, you may end up having to say Beasler, because I think the defense is going to be absolutely bombarded. And rightfully so. And Panama desperately needs points, so they're going to throw everything forward and press and try to score as many goals as they can, because they need to somehow hope that Mexico doesn't win, but also make sure that they try to keep any goal differential issues in case they do end up tying. So, you know, defensively could be the biggest issue.
Last couple on the U.S. men's national team, Zach, because I do want to ask you a quick couple about Spain as well. Obviously, you are a Spanish football expert, of course, who we've had on the show before discussing La Liga. But when it comes to this forward line of the U.S. men's national team, obviously Jose Altidore continues that great run, always has got a great scoring form for the U.S. men's national team. What have you made, though, of Aaron Johansson coming into this side, the young AZ Alkmaar striker who many people are liking partnering Altidore because of the chemistry between the two that's already been seen, I guess, at club level slightly, and obviously at the U.S. men's national team level already?
Yeah, it's been a refreshing sort of combination. No one's ever questioned Josie's raw ability, and we finally, after a long stretch, have seen him starting to perform at the national team level. And it was nice to see him play pretty well for overall in this game against Jamaica, because he's had such a rough time now again at club, just moving to Sunderland with the coaching changes and everything else. But you know, at least he's playing. But the trick has always been, what are you going to do? How are you going to play off of him? And there hasn't been a great option. You know, Dempsey doesn't really fit that role completely, though he could do it. Donovan can do it and has. Clemson's shown a liking to play him a little more forward sometimes. But I think Johansson's a good option. Whether or not he's going to be the guy going into Brazil, it's hard to say. I think he'll need to keep his club form up and continue to do the right things in Klinsmann's eyes. But at worst case, I think he's a guy that you can definitely make a case for being a very positive potential addition to the roster. Because at least worst case, if he's not starting, he gives you a change of pace, a different style of player off the bench. And then if you need to play a different system, you want to try something, try to exploit a team you're playing, he gives you something different that the U.S. team hasn't really had. And so I think people are right to be excited about it. But at the same time, you know, you got to take a little bit of a deep breath and a step back, because we've seen young guys come in, make a little bit of a splash, and then it sort of settles in and they just kind of fizzle out a little bit. Hopefully he doesn't. We'd like to see him be very much more effective. But I think the signs are that he could be something very positive and a very useful type player for Clemson to have in his toolbox.
Is he too young to take to the World Cup just yet?
I don't think, people have talked about that, and I think there is a point that where a player might be too young in terms of experience. But Johansson is young, but he's getting experience. He's playing for his club. He is playing at the national team level. He's been in games. And that, for me, is what's important. If he was just coming into camp and maybe making the bench and never playing, then maybe you say, well, he hasn't really experienced it. Maybe you're not comfortable with it. But he's getting game time. And unless he does something just nutty and just suddenly, you know, shows off the streak of a horrific immaturity that we aren't seen yet, then maybe you make the case. But if the guy's playing, if the coach is comfortable with him and he feels like he's going to use him, I think there's no such thing as too young. But if you're just taking the guy because you're just trying to fill your roster, then, you know, maybe that you could use your option better.
And what about Mexico? Before we get into Spain, just quickly, Zach, have they turned the corner? Do you think, I mean, an emphatic way to get a victory against Panama, leaving it late. Jimenez's incredible bicycle kick. But is the manner of that victory maybe as important in the fact that they were able to salvage something so late at the end and in such emphatic style as well?
It may be that kind of win that they can ride for one more game. And because it's only one more game, I think it can have an effect, and it's immediately a couple of days later. Because really what you saw from Mexico is a team that really has a lot of the same problems. It's not like suddenly that the new coach and a few changes, including bringing back Rafa Marquez, has suddenly made everything better across the board. They still have the issues, but they finally won at home. And like you said, they did it in an emphatic way, scoring just a spectacular goal. And that's the kind of thing I think they needed more than anything else. They needed that emotional charge, and that should be enough to get them through. I would be honestly at this point shocked if they didn't get the result they needed to get into the playoff, and then they'll have to go and deal with New Zealand, and that should be something that you say on paper they can deal with. But, if that game obviously hadn't gotten that goal, you know, we'd probably be ready to write Mexico off, or wanting to, if we're, you know, the real hardcore U.S. fans who just love to hate Mexico, would want to write them off. But because of the way they won that game, you get the feeling that that's going to give them enough of a push to get over the hump and take care of business and get into that playoff.
For the Spanish national team, obviously their place pretty much booked in for Brazil 2014, although France can still just about win that group ahead of them, but it will take an absolute miracle. Spain in control of their own destiny. But needless to say, were you a little surprised, despite the lack of pressure around the Spain side, that Casillas hit the bench this week, that we have Victor Valdez coming in? And what does that do for Casillas' confidence to have lost the starting job, obviously, at Real Madrid, and to now not be 100% sure of getting a start, even in a World Cup qualifying game like this?
Well, Casillas, I don't necessarily think he'll lose confidence. I think he's going to want anything just be quietly frustrated. This is a guy that has played at the highest level. He's lifted a World Cup. He's lifted a European Cup. So he knows what it takes to win big games. He knows he's capable of playing still. And I think more than anything that this is going to have implications from Real Madrid, because I think he's going to start to put pressure on them quietly behind the scenes to move him. Because I think he wants to play, and, you know, and you don't blame him. I mean, he has every right to be playing. He's in the prime of his career. For him to be sitting on the bench is ridiculous. The change for Spain this time, I think it makes sense on paper. I mean, Casillas hasn't been playing. He's been sitting on the bench, and that doesn't mean he couldn't come in and play well, but he's just been sitting there. And Valdez has been playing out of his mind for Barcelona. In fact, Barcelona is where they're at right now, in large part due to the fact that Valdez has kept them in some games until they could pull away late. So he's been playing fantastic, and his form deserves a start. And you know, at the international level, I'm always been a proponent of a manager or coach looking at it and saying, look, I have to pick the guys that I know have consistently performed for me. But at the same time, sometimes I have to go out and say, this guy is playing well, it's a hot hand, and you go with that. And I think it was a smart move because you never know. You know, what if Casillas has a bad game because he hasn't been playing? What if he hurts himself early and they got to make a sub? You know, those are the kind of doubts in your mind. I think it was the right move. It worked out for them, and you can question it to the end. But anything, I think more, like I said, it's going to pressure for Casillas to want to get out of Madrid because I think he's going to want his spot back. But to do it, he's going to have to play. And it doesn't look like he's going to be playing at Madrid anytime soon.
Zach, we will have to keep an eye on, obviously, the Spanish national team as they look to cement their place into 2014 Brazil. And Andong Iker Casillas, I can't imagine seeing him in any other colours apart from Real Madrid, so it'd be insane to think of him being somewhere else. But for the time being, we will have to step back into a bit of Spanish football with you later on in the next few months or so. But for now, mate, we really appreciate you joining us here on WFD to have a chat about all things US men's national team and a little bit of Mexico and Spain as well, my man.
It was my pleasure. I always enjoy joining you guys, and have a good one.
And you too, my man. Zach Woosley there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things US men's national team. You can find Zach on Twitter at GingFC, capital G, capital F, capital C, all one word. That's at GingFC, and obviously you can find Zach's writing on SBNation.com/soccer, giving us a roundup of the US men's national team victory. I thought it looked comfortable, to be honest. I've managed to see the game. The